Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I appreciate all who continually support my ministry, my broadcast, my podcast, and all the different platforms I'm on, all the different ministry endeavors that I'm involved in. Thank you so much for your support, whether it be financially or through prayer or in any way that you support our ministry of Firebrand Fellowship. Thank you so much. So tonight I'm going to talk about the mystery of the cross, and the mystery of the gospel isn't really something that we can wrap our heads around, but there are things that we can understand from scriptures and from what the Holy Spirit reveals to us personally, and I want to share those things with you that God has revealed to me. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you strike down the spirit of the Antichrist right now in the atmosphere where I am and throughout the regions across this country and all across the globe as people tune in to learn about the mystery of the cross. The Antichrist spirit is gaining traction and gaining strength as the Antichrist very well may arise within the next decade or two. And I say that not as a prediction, but I say that because times are getting darker and we can tell that the end is near. Lord Jesus, I ask that you strike down every assignment of the enemy on our lives that it comes to rob, kill, and destroy, that comes to delay, destroy, and dismantle in our lives. In Jesus' name, and the spirit of Antichrist must be broken now. In Jesus' name, by the power of the blood, by the power of your name, Jesus, so that your glory, your power, and your presence may go out into the earth to grant revelation, to impart revelation and impartation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Help me to speak your words and not my own, that I would reveal what the enemy has attempted to conceal. Thank you, Lord. So this topic is one that will bring revelation to those who may be seeking greater clarification when it comes to the deity of Christ and why Jesus had to be God, manifest in the flesh to have accomplished what he did at the cross. So I'll start by saying that God has revealed something to me through the scriptures that has allowed me to have a deeper understanding of Jesus as suffering servant, as the sacrificial lamb, and as God incarnate. So let's start by reading Isaiah 53 verses 3 through 6. Isaiah 53 verses 3 through 6. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So these verses speak of a man of sorrows, a man who was rejected. He was acquainted with sorrows. And let's just stop there for a moment. There was a time when I started reading the Gospels early on, when I first really got filled with the Spirit, and I accepted the Bible as 100% truth. And you really need to accept the Bible as 100% truth if you're going to receive from the Spirit and if you're going to receive revelation from God. Because as you question the Word of God, you're quenching and resisting the Holy Spirit. So that's one tip right there before we continue. Jesus, let me tell you, Jesus knows what it is to be rejected. He knows what it is to be betrayed. He knows what it is to experience sorrow and pain and grief. So he knows exactly what you're going through right now, and he sees you. He sees your pain, and he can comfort you in your time of need. So this man spoken of here in Isaiah 53, this man was to be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By this man's stripes, we were to be healed. We as Christians believe this was Jesus. We believe he offered himself up as the ultimate atoning sacrifice for all of mankind. There are some who hold to a view that the suffering servant is Israel. This view is only a futile attempt at disproving the atoning power of Christ's death on the cross. So anyone that knows the scriptures knows that the wicked will be punished for their sin, while the righteous are preserved and protected, except in the case of martyrdom. And even then, a righteous person's death can atone for the wicked. A righteous person's death cannot atone for the wicked. So how would the punishment of a nation atone for future generations? How would a righteous remnant of Israel atone for future generations in Israel? Israel cannot die for Israel. It doesn't make sense. It's false. So if Israel was ever judged and chastised, it was because of the nation's sin. It was because of their own sin, not its righteousness, not their own righteousness. Let's get that clear as well. Scripture makes it very clear that a righteous man can't die for a sinner. Before the new covenant was established, the only atonement that was made for sin was by sacrificing animals, not human beings. Now let's turn to Exodus 32, verses 30 to 35. Exodus 32, verses 30 to 35. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin. Now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written." And the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now therefore, go lead the people to the place which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin." So the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made. You see what happened there. Moses offered himself up, but the Lord rejected this offer. He wanted to punish those who had committed the sin, those who were wicked in the situation. So before we speak in depth and in detail about what Moses did to restrain the Lord's anger, let's contemplate what took place, what really took place among the people as they waited for Moses. So we could easily judge the Israelites and say, after all the miracles they saw God perform, how could they possibly do such a thing? I mean, God split the Red Sea right before their eyes as they were escaping from the Egyptians and from Pharaoh. After all the signs and wonders and miraculous things that were done so they could flee from Egypt, how could they do this? You could be asking yourself that. So I can't speak for other nations because I'm an American, but aren't our people the same or similar? We have to be the most ungrateful nation on the face of this earth. So we really have no right to judge the Israelites in this situation. The vast majority of the churches of America are asleep. They're like a sleeping giant that needs to be awoken. And we need to understand that we need the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, we cannot be empowered to do what we're called to do in this hour. So I pray you read through the account of the Israelites in the desert and take note as you see the similarities when it applies to your own life, how it applies. I hope that you see how it applies to your own life. So now let's move on to Moses acting as a mediator between his people and God. In verse 30, Moses tells the people that he'll go up to the Lord and see if he can make atonement for their sin. Moses makes God an offer. He says, "If you would forgive the people of this great sin they've committed against you, you can blot me out of your book." And man, this is really deep here. This is really deep because Moses is basically saying, I'll spend eternity separated from you. Not only kill me, but blot out my salvation. Blot out my eternity with you. Just erase it if these people can live. If these people would be spared, that's what you can do. So he was actually offering up his own eternity so that they would be spared and inherit the promise. And that is the greatest example, or one of the greatest examples, of a leader in the Bible. A humble servant leader in the Bible who was willing to lay down his life, and he's a type of Christ in the Bible, who was a mediator and intercessor. And now we know Jesus is our only mediator between us and the Father. But I want to tell you that offering himself up, offering his own salvation up, is one of the greatest sacrifices that a person could make. And he was trying to make the sacrifice, except God rejected it. God rejected the offer. So Moses was referring to the Lamb's Book of Life here, and every person that's recorded or will be recorded in that book, the Lamb's Book of Life, will spend eternity in heaven. Hallelujah. And I know that my name's in that book. Do you know that your name's in that book? It's a great question to ask ourselves. Because everyone needs to think about eternity. Everyone needs to think about where they're going to spend eternity. In heaven or in hell, there's only two options. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. at the end of this broadcast. So please hold on if that's what you're waiting for, if that's what you're listening for. So the Lord replies by saying, whoever sins against me will be blotted out or removed from my book. God promises to punish those who have sinned against him. In other words, God tells Moses, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way, Moses. The sinner must pay the price for their own iniquity. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Many have asked the question, how is it then that Jesus died for sinners? That's where the loophole comes into play. So what exactly is a loophole? It's a technical term. It's a legal term, which means when a law or contract leaves something out by being vague in its wording or not covering every possibility with reference to the law, there may be a way for someone to act outside the law that wouldn't be considered to be breaking the law because the way the person acted wasn't specifically defined or stated when the law was established. That means the Lord purposefully left out the possibility that he could enter human history, he could manifest himself in human flesh among us, that he, being fully God and fully human, could lay down his own life as Jesus to become our atonement. So God stated that man cannot die for the sin of another man, but he never said that he wouldn't die in our place as the Messiah, as a man. Isaiah 53 clearly tells us that a man would die for our sins. And the people of that time surely said to themselves, how could this be? How could it be that a man could come and die for sin? Our system is set up that we sacrifice a lamb once a year on Yom Kippur, and there are many other sacrifices for our purification that we would be clean. How could this be? As you read through the Bible, you connect the dots and recover the clues left for us that we might discover our Messiah's true identity as Lord and God. In Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is called El Gabor, which means Mighty God. In Jeremiah 23:6, he's called Yahweh Sidkenu, which means Yahweh, our righteousness. Micah 5:2 says, his goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. And Psalm 45, verse 6 says this of Jesus, who is called Most Excellent of Men, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So when the Father looked down from heaven upon Jesus as he hung on that old rugged cross, he was satisfied because not only did he see Jesus the man, he saw his own perfection. He saw his own perfection. He saw himself manifested in flesh, and he was satisfied. So there's one last thing that I'd like you to think about, because it's something that I've also pondered. There may be some who question, if God can change his own law, why wouldn't he change it so that those who believe in him could enter heaven without sacrificing his own son? Well, first of all, God wanted to demonstrate his love in a way that would not only captivate mankind, but reveal his nature. God will resort to the most extreme measures to reveal the depth of his love. So that's first and foremost. Second, God knew that by entering the world as a human being, he could experience what we do. He could feel our pain. He could feel our sorrow, our excitement, and our joy. He knew that he could understand the struggles and temptations that we face. And most of all, he knew that by experiencing life as a man, he could become the greatest mediator and intercessor there ever was, the greatest high priest. Jesus, now at the right hand of the Father, has become just that. King of kings, Lord of lords, and our great high priest. He's the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth, the foundation of the world. He's the lamb that was slain. So if you didn't catch what the loophole was, God created the Old Testament in such a way that he left out a specific detail. He said that man cannot die for man. The wickedness of the wicked will be upon the wicked. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon the righteous. A righteous man cannot die for a wicked man. But I tell you this, God left out a specific detail. And just in case you missed it, he never said that he couldn't enter human history, and manifest himself in human flesh as the Son of God to die for our sins, that's the loophole. That's the way he entered human history, and that's the way he had it planned from the beginning, that we could be saved, that we could be redeemed. Receive Jesus right now. If the Holy Spirit is drawing you, I tell you, no man could do what Jesus did. And he's not a man. He's not just a man. He's fully man and fully God. And I know you can't wrap your head around that. I can't either. But I want to tell you that what you need to know is that God took on human flesh to be the ultimate atoning sacrifice, that we would be reconciled to the Father. Now say these words and believe them in your heart. You shall be saved, but you must follow the Lord. You must continue to seek him, follow him, and obey his voice. Father God, I believe that Jesus is your Son, that he died on the cross for my sins. Thank you, Lord God, for manifesting yourself in human flesh to be sacrificed for my sins. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, and purify me. Jesus, I believe that you died on that cross, that you rose from the grave, and that you're Lord forevermore. Lord, give me the strength, the wisdom, and all that I need to follow you for all of my days with all that I am, in Jesus' name. If you said that prayer, you're now a son or a daughter of the Most High King. Hallelujah. I welcome you into the family of God, and I pray that you would continue to walk with the Lord, keeping your eyes set on him, the author and finisher of our faith. Get connected with other believers, other people who believe the Word of God, who believe the Bible is the 100% infallible, inerrant Word of God. Stay connected with the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Read your Bible and worship God. Those are the basics. And reach out if you have any questions. God bless you.